In the name of Jesus, amen. A blessed Christmas morning to you. Christmas in America. Most of Christmas in America has nothing to do with Jesus. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It's the world in which we live. And that has developed over time. It hasn't always been that way. And Christmas in America has a very fascinating, checkered history. If you go back to the 1700s, go back to the Puritans who first settled in New England, they had Christmas outlawed. They were the majority, and so they were able to establish the laws. They had Christmas outlawed. It was illegal to celebrate Christmas, and they did that for two reasons. It had become a giant drunk fest. Everybody just got drunk. And secondly, they believed it had too many man-made rituals. And so they outlawed it. That's how it was in New England in the 1700s. The United States Congress met regularly on Christmas Day for some 65 years, up until about 1855. Schools were in session. It was just another day. In 1870, the president, Ulysses S. Grant, declared Christmas to be a federal holiday. But prior to that, you know, it was simply another day. While that was going on in America, in England, in the early 1800s, something was taking place. Princess Victoria, she became Queen of England. And she married her first cousin, Albert. Albert was German, and interestingly, he was baptized in a Lutheran church. But he came from a family that had very traditional German Christmas. And so when they got married, Victoria adopted that. She liked the customs that her husband's family had, and so she incorporated that into their marriage. And so this royal couple they modeled for people in England a very family-centered Christmas celebration. She wrote in her journal, "Christmas I always look upon as a most dear and happy time, also for Albert, who enjoyed it naturally, still more in his happy home, which mine certainly as a child was not. It's a pleasure to have this blessed festival associated with one's happiest days. The very smell of the Christmas trees of pleasant memories." And there, so she, if you've ever heard of the Victorian era or having a Victorian Christmas, she's the one who got that going. And churches had very little to do with that. Very little to do with that. It was basically a secular and commercial holiday. 7 years after she became queen, Charles Dickens wrote a very influential book, A Christmas Carol. You know, the ghosts of Christmas past, present, future, and all of that. But in that book, that novel, there is really nothing about Jesus. Nothing about the Gospels. For Dickens, it was the spirit of Christmas rather than the spirit of Christ that captured his attention. And the influence of that book on European Christmas, and then that kind of spilled over into American Christmases, can't be overestimated. One of his characters remarks, "I'm sure I have always thought of Christmas time as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time." And it was after that book was published and caught on that employers started giving their employees the day off, because they were kind of shamed into it because of that book. And it kind of grabbed hold, and that's what began to happen. In America, that spills over into America. And then in America, we have this thing called advertising. And the Coca-Cola company probably has done as much to promote Santa Claus as anything or anyone else. There has always been St. Nicholas. That's European, December 6th is St. Nicholas Day. The Dutch word for St. Nicholas is Sinterklaas. And that's where we get our English word, Santa Claus. From the 1930s up until the 1960s, Coca-Cola really pushed having Santa Claus drinking Coca-Cola. And so they paid this illustrator to come up with at least one illustration of Santa Claus drinking Coca-Cola. And that took off. That's kind of how Santa Claus developed in our culture and how it spread. It went viral. But that is uniquely American. Other countries have Santa Claus, but it all kind of started here. Other countries, especially Europe, they're more into St. Nicholas. So what happens to the church in the light of all this? Well, we kind of lose our voice, or we get drowned out. We get swamped by the noise of advertising and jingles and fictional characters who invite us just to believe. That's what we have. That's where we're at. And trying to drown out the voice of the gospel is nothing new. The word of God is powerful, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus tells us that, even though the gates of hell will try to do that. And so, yes, does what goes on at Christmas, does it try to drown out the gospel? Well, maybe not intentionally, but it does. So then, as Christians, how do we deal with all that? I will suggest a couple of things. Enjoy Christmas. Enjoy Christmas for what it is, and recognize it for what it is, and do so with a good conscience. Remember, Jesus is Lord of all, and so the grace and goodness of God is working in all things. Secondly, don't let the secular world or the way that Christmas is celebrated in our world confuse you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of those is a fictional story, and one of those is true and real. I know a woman today that is, she left her church. She left her church because she went to church on Christmas Eve and the whole sermon was about Timmy the Snowflake. And she's like, that's enough of that. Today she's a Lutheran. She wanted to go to church to hear about Jesus, and her church wasn't delivering that to her. So we hold on to what we've been given, and we hold fast. And yes, we realize all these things go on, and we can enjoy them, we can participate them, but those other things are not the gospel. The good news of the gospel is that God sent his Son to save you, and he has done that. And of course, it starts way before Jesus was born. The whole Bible is the story of that unfolding, but the birth of Christ certainly is a part of that. That baby grows up to do what we could never do for ourselves, and that is to save us. Even that word, Christmas, is a testimony to who Jesus is and what he's done. The word Christmas is simply a combination of that phrase, Christ's Mass. In other words, a mass is a service where you have communion. If somebody ever asks you, what time is your Mass at Holy Trinity, tell them it's 5 o'clock on Saturdays, 9 o'clock on Sunday. And don't say, oh, we don't have Mass. We do have Mass. We just don't call it that. But Christmas is that word, that phrase, where they would have the church service of communion to celebrate the birth of Christ. But even that phrase didn't show up until the 11th century. So even that doesn't go all the way back. So what do we do as Christians? We hold fast to what we have been given. We share Christ as we have opportunity. And we remember that Jesus is Lord of all. He's even Lord of people who don't believe in him. He's even Lord of people who don't go to church. He's Lord of all, and he is the one who comes to save us from our sins. And he gives us that promise and that hope as he comes to us through his word and through his holy sacraments. And all of that he does and gives freely. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. God grant you a blessed Christmas and a blessed day, not only today, but in all the days to come until we share eternity forever in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.